Bob Pompiani, Paul's Ice, across from me. Let's get down to the nuts and bolts of this situation. Paul, we played the Bob Nutting quotes. Ben Charrington basically echoed that, as one would expect. So who's out there and who can they get and what do they have to give up? The Arias deal that the Padres got still just irks me to no end. That was a Jim Rutherford move. That was a move where you say before the market heats up for this guy, two-time batting champion, maybe soon to be three-time.
And he's done a very good job since the acquisition.
We're going to do that, and we're not going to give up one of our own top five prospects. How about that? They gave up three of their top 15, I believe, but none of their top five. So that really irks me, but it doesn't matter now. So we have Lewis Robert Jr. We have this from the Noah Constrictor, Noah Hiles. The Oakland Athletics could be willing to trade J.J. Bleday to the Pirates for Sawinski and Peguero.
See, I would ask that
Tell
question.
Me how that makes sense for Oakland.
It doesn't.
Well, let's explore that for a moment. You yourself said earlier that you expected Sawinski to have a big year this year.
I did.
He finished strong. He had 26 home runs. Maybe the Oakland A's look over here and say, I don't know what those guys are doing with their hitters, but we think we can get the most out of Jack Sawinski. We think we can turn him into that 25 to 35 home run guy. We're going to go out and get him. Plus, we'll get Peguero. I think Peguero is a major league player.
But that's not my question. Yeah. Why would you move on from Bleday?
Well, that is the question, isn't it?
If you're them, I wouldn't want to move on, especially for that.
Doesn't he lead the majors in doubles?
He's a hitting machine, I think. Some young guy who's, you know, I don't know. I just don't understand that. If that were the deal, I would take it in a heartbeat.
Maybe they want to get stockpile more players, and maybe they think they can turn Sawinski.
Or they're losing that much money, and they just say, I'm going to, you know, I'll try to figure this out without actually paying guys who are going to deserve to be paid.
Right.
I don't know.
Do you think maybe they think Sawinski is a guy who can hit for way more power than Bleday?
And maybe they could drag it out of it. I get that point. But
it's
not like
Bleday is Mickey Mantle in center field either.
No, but
he's hitting 250 with 11. Well, he does have 11 homers.
He's a much better player at this point. That's why I'm wondering why they would want to get rid of him.
Because maybe they also look at Peguero as a major league starter, which I'm not sure that they're wrong, by the way. Paul? I'm just giving you a reason, Bob. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
Would you do? So you're saying Peguero, Palacios, Sawinski for Bleday?
I didn't see Palacios' name in there. Did you?
I didn't either. I just saw the two you mentioned.
Yeah,
that's what Hiles said. An executive told him.
Well, but my point is, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. The A's are going to give them away for that.
Well, again, it would come down to, do they think Jack Sawinski is a 25 to 30 home run guy like he was last season, and that they have better development instruction than the Pirates do to get him there? And if they do, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time.
I mean, you look at it, Andujar, they have him now, and something's happened since he's gone.
I can tell you this, wouldn't be the first time that an underachieving young left-handed power hitter went to Oakland and became a really good player. If you remember, Brandon Moss was here and didn't do crap while he was here. Then he goes to Oakland. The guy's hitting 30 home runs with 87 RBIs 1 year. He has a 954 OPS, an 859 OPS. Maybe a lot of teams, I don't know, I honestly don't know, would look at Sawinski and say, what the hell are they doing? Here's how we can unlock this guy. Maybe. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, I would do that deal in a second.
Yeah.
What about Luis Robert, Paul, from the White Sox?
Well, I think let's see what his numbers are.
I mean, he's having a pretty good year, and he's got a decent track record. He's starting to heat up a little
26
bit.
26 years old, which is good.
Actually, he's having a horrible year.
But he is
heating up. No, he's not heating up.
No,
he sucks.
That whole team does. However,
he has club control through 2020.
They signed him to a big deal because they know what he can do. He hasn't done it this year, but none of them have done it this year.
He's hitting 180 this month, Bob. He does have a 734 OPS, however, this month with five home runs. But my God, I wasn't even aware until I actually looked at the numbers here. Last year, he was really good.
Bob Nightingale said that the White Sox are looking for a similar trade package that the Padres gave up for Juan Soto in 2022.
Well, that's, I wouldn't do that. That's a lot.
Juan Soto.
Now, I'm not putting
this guy. This guy did have 38 home runs last year, Paul.
That's why I want him.
And an .857 OPS.
That's why I want him.
But Sawinski had 26.
Yes.
I get it. I still would want him.
I mean, I think, you know, again.
Was he hurt too, Robert?
Really
I think he was.
What's really hard for me about when we talk about all these guys is what is, you know, what are the Pirates sending back?
Well, if they want Juan Soto type of a deal, then you're not going to do that.
Not for him.
I don't think I don't think they're going to do that, though. The Pirates, I mean.
They're going to have to trade probably some top 10 prospects and get a couple bats in here. I mean,
you
to me, it doesn't have to be that dramatic.
You think they're going to trade? I mean, I bet you Tamar Johnson is untouchable with them.
Nobody should be untouchable if the price is right.
I bet you Bubba Chandler and the other pitcher, what's his name?
Solomato. But they also have Mike Burrows who got injured. They have guys. Ashcraft is supposed to be something, you know, I keep hearing his name.
Watch your language, Bob.
I know. But the point is, not all of them are going to turn out to be good.
How about Brent Rooker? Now, Brent Rooker is a guy with 30 home runs last year. He's got 13 this year. Some people talking about him being on the trade. Everybody from Oakland's always on the trade block, right?
Them and Chicago are the two teams. But everyone's going to go feasting. And I'll tell you, another team that's going to make a lot of moves and get better, I think, in terms of getting assets,
Colorado Rockies. Everybody in the Pirates
division. Colorado Rockies have a lot of players who can help other teams. And they're going to be, you know, those are the teams you're going to look at, I think.
How about the Cardinals? Is that annoying or what to see them back up now with a winning record in second place, 7-3 in their last 10? But when you want to talk about competing for players, I think everybody in the Central is going to be a buyer, including the Reds, who are at 36-41.
Which is why you can't wait on anything, I think. If you have someone and you're earmarking someone, you got to make a move before anyone else does.
Fan of the Pirates, want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball softball showcase. Parents, coaches, email us at usports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team. And the Fan might make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com. Century 21 Fairways Real Estate. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. 412-928-9370. Let's hit the lines. Nelly?
Let's go to Jeff in Tampa.
Hello, Jeff.
Morning, guys. Nice listening to you this morning. Some things that I haven't heard you touch upon is the lack of hustle, the poor base running on this team. You got Patella has hit the ball off the top of the wall and doesn't even walk out of the batter's box and then starts running and barely makes it to second. Guys running the bases. Hayes was being waved home the other day, and he stopped when he probably could have scored and made it 4-3.
I know, man, but you know what? At least in my opinion, these guys might disagree. That's the least of their problems, and I'm not even sure it's a problem at all. They have things that can measure base running now, people thrown out on the bases, how many guys that get on base come around to score, and the Pirates are right in the middle of the league and in some cases in the upper third of the league in those things. We saw the Reds come in here. They're running bases like a bunch of idiots. So the numbers show that the Pirates are not as bad as some of us think in terms of base running. I need hitting. I don't care about base running.
There's a serious lack of discipline on this team all the way around.
Okay, in your opinion, Bob, do you agree with that, a lack of discipline?
I think base running issues, again, are the least of their problems at this point. That's how big their problems are.
I'd love to have a discipline problem in here that can hit. That you have to discipline or not. That's why I'd love to have a bunch of jackasses and a bunch of jerks in here,
but
like Barry Bonds. Hey, bring somebody in who can hit. I don't give a crap about discipline.
Those things are really put under the microscope because nothing else is happening. So every little – it's just like when you have a well-pitched game. You make one mistake and you lose because nothing else is working. If you focus on base running now, it's because nothing else is working, and you can see that. If you score 5 or 6 runs a game, you're not going to –
they're not a bad base running team by any metric that I can find.
How about Sawinski yesterday? He threw the ball into the infield about 15 mile an hour when the guy was running home.
I did see that.
Yeah, I didn't understand. What was he doing on that play?
I don't know. The guy wasn't even around third. Was it Sawinski who picked up the ball? Yeah. It was him. It wasn't Reynolds. It was Sawinski.
He looks like he doesn't even want to be here.
He's struggling. Man. I don't know. I appreciate the call, but that was horrendous.
I had no idea. When he fielded the ball, the dude wasn't even around third.
I know.
I didn't understand what he was doing.
It's one of the worst throws I've ever seen, Bob.
Yeah, it looks like his head wasn't in the game then, or he wasn't paying attention to the situation as it unfolded. I don't know what else it would be.
But yeah. Do you guys agree with me that the least of their problems is things like base running?
Because there are bigger problems than that.
I don't even think it's a problem, to be honest with you. Everybody has problems on the base pass.
But again, that's nitpicking. And you nitpick when you do nothing else right, and you can't cover it up and overlook it.
Extra bases taken. Pirates are in the top 10 or 11 in the league. Run scoring percentage. That's the number of times a base runner actually scores a run. They're right around league average. What else do you want me to look at here? Stolen base percentage? Top 5 in the league, Paul.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, when they're winning and everything's going well, you know, we talk a lot less about these kinds of things.
Bases taken. That's actually an interesting stat.
You know
stat.
What I mean, though?
Yeah,
you
of course. I mean? We focus on a horrible, right now, and they've made some.
Right now, everybody focuses on, because, you know, if you make a base running mistake with this group, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's the end of the inning, pretty much. Bases taken. In other words, how often do you advance on fly balls, wild pitches, all that? Pirates are in the top 7 or 8 in the league with 74 of them. I don't give a crap. Arizona's number 1 with 99. I'd, you know what bases? I'd like to take 4 of them on a home run. That's what I'd like to take.
Yeah, a little trot so you don't have any issues with running. Just trot around the base pass and score 3 runs.
Next, Nelly.
Let's go to Matt in Lancaster.
Hey, Matt.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Good.
So, just wanted to say, love the show, first of all.
Thank you.
So, Paul, Bob, you guys are all great together. You guys kind of brought up a little bit the last segment. What does this organization make them think that holding on to their prospects is the way to go? Like, any of them ever panning out, or what percentage of our prospects, other than like us hitting on Skeens and Jones is a real deep dive, like Skeens, no-brainer. What on earth do we think that we're better at everyone else evaluating this talent and needing to hoard the prospects as shown at the major league level that we just
Paul, that's a great question.
That we can't get rid of them.
No, it's a great question. I mean, look at position player prospects, for example. How many have they drafted and how many have turned out? I mean, you get 3 or 4 every once in a while that turn out, Paul. Look around the diamond now.
Right. Well,
and they covet them like they can't touch them.
Right. Exactly.
Well, Nick Gonzalez is a first-round pick.
Yeah, but again, the point is there are not many of them. And when you look at the
Henry Davis is a first-round pick.
Yeah. Look at the team.
But
look
again,
at the lineup. How many guys were homegrown that are good?
But I think what happens in this day and age,
I have an answer to that.
There's so many people writing about them and only focusing on the positives. Whatever happened to Eddie Yean?
I remember
when that trade happened, everyone said, oh my God, you got Eddie Yean. Where is he now?
Right.
You know,
part of the reason you make a trade like that is then to move Eddie Yean when you get good.
Right, but
if you're reluctant to do it, if you never do it, then what's the point? Although I was looking at St. Louis's lineup. It seems to me they have a lot of homegrown guys
in
the lineup.
Well, therein lies the biggest problem. The teams that are trading assets have many more than the Pirates because they've drafted better or developed better.
And when the Padres,
as you mentioned, 3 of their top 15 go to Miami to get Luis Arraez.
Yeah.
So they weren't afraid to make that deal because they have other people. The Yankees have often traded a lot of prospects to get what they wanted, but they still have more prospects. Why?
Well, when the Pirates got good in 2013, prospects coming of age did have a lot to do with that.
But that's what you have.
McCutcheon.
First and
Neil
foremost,
Walker,
you have to do that better than anyone.
Pedro Alvarez, right, tied for the league lead in homers. Starling Marte came along. Right. Garrett Cole came along. But you got to supplement all over the place, which that team did. Here's one from Patrick. Don't hold your breath waiting for the Pirates to make a significant trade move. It's not going to happen. There's always the next year thing or another five-year plan. I get it, and I get the frustration, except that the last time the Pirates were contending, they made the biggest trade in all of baseball. One of the worst trades in baseball history. But the idea that, oh, they never bring in players when they're good, they actually do. That's the very inconvenient truth. The last time the Pirates had a legit shot midway through a season, they made the biggest trade in all of baseball and brought in Chris Archer. Horrendous trade, yes. Did they do it? Yes. When they got good in 2013, they brought in one of the best power hitters that year in the National League in Marlon Byrd in August, and a pretty big name in Justin Morneau, even though he was not good here. The year before that, even, or 2 years before that, they brought in Derek Lee. So they actually do bring in people.
Yeah, I mean,
what they don't do a lot is parlay top prospects for a big name. I will certainly grant you that.
The crowds that are starting to get smaller are the, well, who cares about Skeens? He's going to be a Yankee 5 years from now. That crowd, which is similar to the crowd that just sent you that text. Who cares? They're not going to do anything. They don't spend any money. At some point, it just gets so cliched and repetitive and nonsensical.
But the only reason they're saying it is because it doesn't happen very frequently.
Well, it doesn't. Listen, I think that there's some merit to all of that. Yes, 4 years from now, Skeens will be traded somewhere where they know they're going to be able to pay him. Of course, we know that. 5 years, whatever. You know what I mean? We know that, you know, the Pirates aren't likely to go out and give away a bunch of prospects, but they'll trade some prospects if they have to. So there's truth to it, but these people that just, you know, summarily shout you down and say, who cares? Why are you reacting if you don't care? That's what I would like to know.
The last time they were good, they made a huge trade. That's a fact.
Yep. It was a different regime. We haven't seen this regime do it yet.
This regime hasn't been good yet.
But they've been with the third wild card. Back then, that wasn't the case. Now
yeah,
they have
this
it.
This is the first time they have a chance.
And that's why it's important that they take it. And I still operate under this window because I do. I'm not going to. If Paul Skeens turns out to be what everyone expects him to be, the money will dictate that he won't be here.
That's a different issue.
No, I'm just saying.
Get somebody at the deadline.
I'm saying is because you have the window where he can't do that until later. And yeah. You have Jones and you have Keller signed. You essentially have three guys here for the next 4 to 5 years. You know that.
Makes it imperative to do something.
That's why you have to do something.
And then because Bob Nutting is now on the record basically as saying we're going to try to maximize this, well, then if they don't do anything, we can rip him to shreds again.
But I happen to think
they are going to make at least one very significant trade. I think they are.
I do too.
The only caveat to that, Joe, is if they have like a little 5 or 6 game losing streak and they fall to like 4, 4.5 out, then they'll say, well, we're not close enough.
Well, then I would rip them again.
Yes.
Because, you know, Charrington's line about basically let's see what they, you know, show us before the deadline will help them show you that they're worth adding to even more, you know? Help them now is what I would say. Next, Nelly.
Let's go to Ray in Whitehall.
Hey, Ray.
Hey, what's up? I would say that the most disappointing aspect of the season so far is the lack of development among three guys, Cruz, Hayes, and Davis when he was healthy. These guys, one was a number one overall, another number one. We've had a lot of hopes for Cruz. I have doubts as to how great he's going to be because when you consider the Dodgers, who are one of the smartest organizations around, traded him, I wonder if they would have traded him if they thought he was going to be great just for Tony Watson.
I'd watch it if you're at the stadium and you criticize O'Neill Cruz in any way because he's in the same company as Gonzalez now, where anybody who mentions that Gonzalez's June has been bad or you mention that O'Neill Cruz, when you add everything up, is one of the least productive shortstops in the National League defensively and offensively, you're going to catch a lot of hell. But you know what? You're right, and we appreciate the call. Cruz, Davis, Hayes, three hugely key players coming into the season.
And I would put Sawinski
all
in
have
that group too.
And Sawinski all have been disappointments, Bob.
Yeah, and that's the problem. If they don't take the next step, you take two steps back and you're kind of where you are. And so all you needed, you know, again, all these quality starts the Pirates have gotten from their starters, they've been in a lot of these games and they haven't won them because of lack of hitting, mostly. You can change that by adding
right.
bats.
What's that Zangrilli stat?
17 of those kinds of starts. 6-plus innings for starters.
17.
Three runs or less.
17 innings.
17 games.
17 games that they've lost where their starter went, what, six innings or more? Let me just find it.
They didn't lose all of them. They've lost the majority of them.
More than they should. Yeah. And Cruz,
and if you flip that record around, they would be in the first wild card right now.
Cruz has the caveat that he is coming off a major injury. I do get that. But at some point, you sort of want him to take off, right? And the fact that he's not a very good defensive player, you mix that in with the fact that he's ninth among 11 qualified shortstops in OPS, eighth in slugging. There's only 15 teams, right? And third in strikeouts, and this is not going great.
The Pirates have 17 losses when their starting pitcher goes at least six innings.
So that is all 17.
That's
okay.
Incredible.
Can we put that in context? It sounds like a lot. I wonder if it's the most. Do they say how many that is comparatively?
Someone asked him about that, and he said, well, that would require a deep data dive.
Well, he's just the man.
But safe to say, it is a
safe
terrible,
a lot, yeah.
terrible situation to be in. Because if you get that kind from your starting pitching in this day and age,
they're wasting it.
Yeah, they're wasting it. Because
you
they're
said
not
at
getting...
the top of the show, Bob, that what underscored the whole weekend, what underscored this lack of offense is that yesterday it was Skeens delivering a gem, and they wasted it. They wasted it.
Yep.
And the same might soon hold true of this whole season if they don't act.
Yeah, and that's the crime of it all. So guys aren't developing, but they continue to throw them out there because they don't have options from their minor league system. There's nobody, you know, knocking on the door to come up and replace any of them, apparently. So you got to keep going with what you're going, which, again, puts the emphasis on making a deal. Do something to help them if you're Ben Cherington.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. How about one more, Nelly?
Let's go to Rob in Washington.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, how are you guys doing today after that disaster yesterday?
Good.
I was at the game, and I'll tell you what, when I saw the lineup come up, I was ready to leave. The last 7, 8, 9 hitters all hitting under 200, three easy outs. Every time they came up to the plate, and the only reason I stayed was Paul Skeens. That's the only reason I stayed. This team has got to make some deals. If they don't, they're going to waste three phenomenal pitchers. And I don't know what these guys are. I don't know if this management is watching the same team that we're watching, because I'll tell you what, they're clueless when it comes to talent right now.
And here's
they have
the thing.
No idea.
Here's the thing. I had the exact same feelings you had yesterday at a game way back at the beginning of the season. I was with my nephew watching them play the Orioles. They actually won that game. Point being here that how could Ben Cherington think that he had a good lineup? That day, it was after Cruz and Reynolds at the top of the order, it was Connor Joe batting third, Sawinski cleanup, Olivares batting fifth, Rowdy sixth, Triolo seventh, Joey Bart eighth, and Aliko Williams ninth. And I sat there on a Saturday saying, this is not going to be tenable for a whole season. It's just not. And I know McCutchen didn't play that day, but you could see this. You could see it from a million miles away that there were going to be problems here this season, Paul. The last guy to know is Cherington, I guess.
Right. No, I mean, absolutely. But Joe, you said this about 3 weeks ago, and it still holds true. The only difference is now we're 3 weeks worth of games later, when you said they need to do something now. They need to do something right now. You remember that? You sitting in that very chair.
Yeah.
About 3 weeks ago, I think it was after a Skeens start or a Jones start. Or maybe it was like one of the first or second times those two guys started back-to-back and both were really good, and you basically said, they need to do something now, because if they don't do something now, they're wasting their time. Well, now we're 3 weeks later, whatever it is.
And they've wasted more.
And if they go another 2 or 3 weeks like this, where they go, you know, 7-7 or 8-10 or 8-9 or even 9-8, guess what? Now you've wasted another 15, 16 games where you could have maybe given your offense a chance to win games and to help you out. And so to me, it's a problem.
So let me ask you about this. Do you think in the end that the Pirates will make at least one deal where they sacrifice either a top five prospect or multiple top 10? Yes or no?
Yes, one. Only one.
Paul?
Prospect? Any of them.
Yeah, but
do you think the Pirates will make one where they get rid of a top five or multiple top 10?
I think maybe one top 10. That's it.
I think they will.
I thought you asked me. I'm like, I'd get rid of them all. if I could trade all, you know, you tell me I trade my top 10 prospects to bring back four, you know, my top 10 prospects bring back three good hitters and one or two really good relievers. I do that tomorrow. I don't care about my top 10. I thought that's what you asked me. Do I think the Pirates? I think they will not trade any of their top five.
See, therein lies the problem.
They might trade one of their top 10.
I think they will make one deal. But what I'll say is the narrative to support keeping prospects is, well, look what we have. And again, people write about it all the time. This guy, Bubba Chandler, just came off a great out. He struck out 10, didn't walk anyone. He's been okay. When will Bubba Chandler get here? And how does it match with what you already have? If you can answer me, yes, next year you're going to have a starting five of all these great kids. Okay, fine.
There's no guarantee of that. I'm mostly with you, but I bet you we were saying the same things when we talked about Tyler Glasnow, and now you look, and he's probably going to start the All-Star game, right? I mean,
the
fact that what you said is true doesn't mean that I'm just going to trade Bubba Chandler for anybody.
No, but you use the chip to get exactly what you want, and this has to be a meaningful get. It has to be someone who's going to be around here to add to what you have with your starting pitchers for the next several years.
Yeah, if you're going to par with him, for sure. Right. But I would get rid of a top 10 or two for a rental as well.
I don't mind rentals at all, and they shouldn't either, because you don't have to pay him beyond this year.
But again, here's the problem. That this is what always drives me crazy about this. This discussion is that there's this crowd of people, and I'm starting to think some of them actually work for the Pirates, who act like if you trade away a prospect or two, you're mortgaging the future.
No, there's a name for it. It's called PDS, prospect derangement syndrome.
Exactly, whatever it is. I don't get that. Like for me, and I hate being this way. Actually, I don't care. But I don't care about these prospects nearly as much as some of these people do. Here's a list of the top 10 prospects, right? If the Pirates traded away Thomas Harrington tomorrow, would you care?
Not really.
Would it change anything about your thoughts on the Pirates?
No.
Well, he's right now, according to this list, he's their fourth best prospect, because Skeens is no longer on this list, obviously. So he's their fourth best prospect. If they traded him away, would that matter to anybody? He's number four on this list.
Well,
he's been pitching
well. How about Mitch Jebb? Well, could we live without Mitch Jebb? Because he's sixth.
But the only thing, Paul, is that we were saying the same stuff, but when Glasnow was pitching in the World Series and Austin Meadows was hitting 33 home runs, it felt different. Like, if you're going to do it, you better make the right deal.
But that's the whole point I've made several times with that whole trade that you're talking about there. It's not that they traded away guys who turned out to be okay players or whatever,
right?
And Glasnow's been a lot better than okay. It's that they went out and got the guy who wasn't the right guy. And the thing about it is, everybody, for the most part, knew it wasn't the right guy. Basically, people around baseball and anybody who was paying attention was like, Chris Archer ain't that guy. He's never been that guy. He's always been the guy who's got a lot of stuff and a great arm, who's considered a bit of a goofball and too aloof to ever really realize his potential.
But the moral of that story is, yeah, I don't care about the guys you just mentioned either. Very much, except
go get the right guy.
You better be careful about trading your top prospects.
But
you can make it sound like, oh, who cares about that? Well, you might care a lot if they get the wrong guy for him.
But you know what? If you traded your 30th best prospect and got a guy in here, if that guy stunk, you know what I mean? Like, it's all about making sure you're trading for the right guy. My point is, if you told me at the end of this trade deadline, the Pirates were without Thomas Harrington, Solomato, Thomas Harrington, Mitch Jebb, Jack Brannigan, I would say I don't care as long as the guys they brought back are good players that can help them win today.
It's supposed to be designed.
And this season.
It's supposed to be designed to help both teams. You know, if you're one of those who are selling, okay, you want to get somebody's going to help you down the road. If you're buying, you want immediate help, and if you solve both, it's a good deal. The problem lies where you get the wrong guy and you're giving away a lot and you get nothing in return.
Here's the bottom line here offensively, and it relates to everything we're talking about. How many homegrown hitters do the Pirates have right now who are really good players, like established good major leaguers? Homegrown.
On their team right now?
Yeah.
Well, McCutchen.
I'll answer that. Zero.
Well,
McCutchen was traded away and traded
back. But he was homegrown also.
I don't include him.
All right. Well, then the answer is zero.
Part of this roster, he was acquired in a trade.
Right.
But how many homegrown players who have gone nowhere else do they have on this roster who are good? Established players?
Yeah, the answer is none.
None. Zero. How is that possible?
Zero?
Zero.
Well, look at the roster.
Zero. After all the years of hoarding prospects and making trades for young players with high ceilings.
I guess Reynolds isn't homegrown, right?
They have none.
No, that was a trade.
Not one good established position player. Not one.
Is Cruz homegrown?
He is. He's not an established good player, though. He's not even
Sawinski
homegrown. O'Neill Cruz was a trade, was he not?
He was not drafted by the Pirates.
Yeah, he's not homegrown.
No, Sawinski was a trade acquisition from San Diego.
Who are all the position players they've drafted, Bob?
Well, Gonzalez is, but he's not established. He's
And the other thing I would say about him is that you or I could have drafted somebody in the top 10. What do they have any players ever that they either sign as an international free agent or that they draft? Who's good? Ever.
Well, the thing is, generally, the Pirates, when they get high-end picks, they will go for pitching, mostly. Over the years, guys like Daniel Moskos, Bobby Bradley, John Van Benskoten, Brian Bullington, you know, and yes, Skeens was a no-brainer, but Davis now has to be the, you know, when you take him 1-1, you better get 1-1 out of him, and if you don't...
There's also Henry Davis, Nick Gonzalez, Travis Swaggerty...
Well, Swaggerty did.
Will Craig.
Well, my point
Ryan
is,
Hayes,
those guys,
Kevin
none of them worked out.
Cole Tucker, Reese McGuire. What has happened to the? I mean,
they're all bad picks.
Plus, can you ever pick a guy beyond the first round who turns out to be a good major league hitter?
Yes,
you're allowed to
do that too. How many rounds are there?
Many. What an exercise in rampant.
So basically, if
ineptitude.
If Henry Davis and Nick Gonzalez don't turn out, this.
Well, I mean,
and Key Brian Hayes as an offensive player,
you know, but he's Ke'Bryan Hayes is he was a wasn't was Henry Davis? I think he was a Charrington guy, wasn't he? I
know.
He was just
Hayes
a couple
was
years
a Huntington
ago, yeah.
guy. Ke'Bryan Hayes was a Huntington guy, but the Charrington guys, to your point, Joe, who are they? Henry Davis and Nick Gonzalez. Looking at this roster,
I mean. For position players, I think Swaggerty was a Huntington guy too. But anyway, 412.
I'll give you one more. Right? I'll give you one more. And this is probably tells you everything you need to know about the vast wasteland of the last 14 or 15 years in terms of the drafting and development of players with this group. The fourth best hitter on this team. By average, and OPS is who?
I don't know.
Andrew McCutchen. He's a Littlefield guy. Think about that.
That's amazing.
He's a Littlefield guy.
But the one thing he does do is get on base.
My point is, he's a Littlefield guy, and he's one of your best hitters. What happened to the entire, you know, run?
Yeah, what happened to the last 19 years?
What happened to the entire run of Huntington guys and Charrington guys?
Not to add insult to injury, but I looked up the Connor Joe draft where he was drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
They drafted Cole Tucker with the 24th pick. The very next pick, the Oakland Athletics selected Matt Chapman.
Matt Chapman.
And Connor Joe was traded away too, so he's not homegrown. Plus, his all his numbers have plummeted faster than what, Bob?
Huh.
Yasmani Grandal's batting average. I mean, this is, well, I'll end where we began the segment. This is a disaster, and it's on Ben Charrington. And I think in some ways, Nutting put that out there in public for Charrington to live up to and to do something about it.
Could have. I mean, he didn't have to do it the way he did, and he did. So,
Paul, you have a new Flow Men's Health coming up here. We're going to get top of the hour, switch over to a gigantic game in hockey, one of the biggest games there's ever been, because it's Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Da-ba. Hello, Nelly. You're doing a wonderful job. We have Bob Pompeiani in here. Paul Zeiss. I think Paul may be playing injured today. He's doing a hell of a job battling through. Paul, I commend you for that.
I'm trying, man.
More blowouts than the 1960 World Series?
Oh, boy, I've been struggling today. I think I could be going to the bullpen here.
If you need a reliever, go ahead.
We got Bob
Maybe
here.
Maybe we'll pull in Mulsey.
We got Bob here.
Bob, three of those games were blowouts, if you recall. In the 60 World Series.
They were. And that's what made everything skewed. Like the Yankees had scored way more runs than the Pirates, but the Pirates won four games and they didn't.
Did you remember that? What was I just looking up? Oh, I was looking up Clemente's 3,000th hit the other day because Willie Mays walked across the field to congratulate him. That Bill Mazeroski pinch hit for Clemente. In that game.
I didn't know
they
that.
Took Clemente out of the game because he got his 3,000th hit. He played the field then in the top of the fifth. Then they took him out and Maz pinch hit for him. How about that little nugget?
That's a nugget. Huh? What did he do with that at bat?
I don't know. I don't know. I just saw that part of it. The 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And the hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, that's enough Pirate lineup depression for now. Skeens, again, was awesome, was he not? I mean,
last pitch, 102 miles an hour.
102.
And he came off smiling about it. He knew it was it for him, and he just loaded up, man.
And I thought Jones was as good as he's been since he was a Pirate in his start this
weekend.
The other
thing, like, I learned a lot, and I was at that game that day, and I was watching after he hit. I forget who he hit in the head from Tampa. And
yeah.
Thankfully, that guy's going to be okay. But I noticed he was, you know, as a pitcher, you don't want to do that. It got away from him and hit him in the head. How he responded after that showed me a lot, you know, from Jarrett Jones. Because you could have very easily just, like, got timid, affected by that because of what it represented. Maybe a guy has an orbital bone fracture, who knows what. But he didn't. He just came right back and got better as the game went on after that, you know. And
So as it turns out, he's had three really good starts in June and then the one bad one at Colorado. A lot of people have bad starts at Colorado, right?
Well, yeah, that was the one. But I think for a 22-year-old, he shows a lot of moxie and poise. They both do.
Me too.
They have an A.J. Burnett trait in there.
They do.
I think that, yeah. I think that the big thing is when you, again, we keep saying it, but when you see a guy that throws it like he throws it, it's completely different than anything else.
Did you see at the end of Skeens' start, him looking at his finger and
like
them looking at it?
Blister type thing or something. But
that was mildly concerning.
If you think about it, when it's that hot, they were talking about when it's that hot, you're sweaty, your fingers are sweaty or whatever. But tell you what, when he dialed up 102 and pitch number 98, and then he kind of gave that smile, that's just, like I said, you know the guy's different. He's built different. It's completely a different feel when you watch him throw the ball.
Bob, did you want him to go out for the eighth?
No, not with 98 pitches. I thought that was enough. But I also didn't think that Holderman would be ineffective. I thought, you know, he's been one of their best pitchers.
I don't
pitchers.
Understand why they went to Holderman when they used him for 16 or 18 pitches or whatever it was the day
before.
Well,
they used Chapman the day before, too. So somebody had to come out.
Well, my thing is they should have went to Miklos or whatever his name is.
Kyle Nicholas has been, he's got an arm, but he's also been very wild. He normally goes in low leverage situations, it looks like to me.
Yeah, but to me, if you look at, the guy.
Well, isn't Holderman supposed to be able to pitch 2 days in a row and be effective?
Yeah, I thought so. I didn't have a problem with choosing him.
It felt like he threw a lot. Maybe I was wrong. Let me look, but I thought he threw.
No, he threw 16, you're right, the day before, but he didn't pitch the day before that. And everybody's going to have a bad, outing once in a while, but them going to him, I didn't see a problem with that.
Because they get no offense. You have one run at that point, and so every little pitch you make is magnified.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. Did you see the end of the Mets game last night?
The thing is, I don't have a problem with him going to Holderman, because he's their guy. He's been terrific.
He might be their closer for a little while now.
My thought was two straight days in that heat. It was pretty clear early in his time out there yesterday that he just didn't have his A-plus stuff. And what I hate about, instead of just saying, he didn't have his A-plus stuff, we have to hear, it's a little unlucky. The ball fell in here. The ball fell in there. The ball kind of got through there. A little bit unlucky with a couple of strike calls, as opposed to just saying he really didn't have his best stuff. But I mean, like this kid, what's his name?
Nicholas?
Nicholas.
He's given up runs. He had given up at least a run in four of his past five outings. He's been doing some good things.
He's
been
a low leverage guy. He's not going to come in those situations.
I don't know. I don't think, obviously, Holderman didn't have his best stuff, but I did not have a problem with that.
No. If they had put in Kyle Nicholas and he had given up two runs, people would have been all over Derek Shelton because he's never in those situations unless it's absolutely last ditch. And that's not to say he can't do it. He has a good arm, but he's missed his locations quite a bit.
We got a game seven coming up here.
But real quick, did you see the end of the Mets game? I wanted to ask
you. With Diaz getting
Diaz
for the substance.
He didn't even get a chance to throw a pitch, and he was ejected, which is
10 games he might get for that. And they didn't seem to put up too much of a fight.
No. So I don't know what it was, but they knew. I mean, these umpires do.
Wait, did you see? I'm pretty sure, did you see the picture of his hand?
No.
What'd it look like?
It looked like a glazed donut.
It looked like he just
that's why they didn't argue.
It literally looked like he just eaten a glazed donut and didn't wash his hand.
How often do you think that still goes on in the majors?
Well, they check for it, so maybe not as much. But if you're trying to sneak it through, thinking they won't ask you or you're going to put in it, they knew immediately. They can tell there was something not right there with that, whatever that texture was, the glazed
donut. And he's been struggling, trying to get back on track. That's when guys go to stuff. That's when steroids became what they became. I think a lot of guys who were tailing off in their careers went to that to save them. I think injured guys do that, and guys who face the decision, do I want to lose my career or cheat? Do I want to get that next big contract?
The money is too big to pass up.
Right. And I think Diaz was like, probably, how do I salvage this season? I'm looking at the photo now. It looks like he just got back from Krispy Kreme.
I mean, what are we talking about? That's why he didn't put up a fight. If you look at his photo, it's like...
He said it was a combination of rosin and sweat.
Yeah. That's just like, was it the Blue Jays that had the guy that was just... for 80 games for using some
sort
of... Yeah,
he claimed it was...
A fertility drug.
Yeah, right. We're like, what?
That makes sense. Yeah. All right, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms, qualifications at sunchevy.com. Mostly sunny with a high of 81. Paul, you have new flow coming up again. It's a doubleheader. But first, top of the hour, there was a call to Matt Cole the other day. I think it may have been Ron Cook. This is the latest Saturday call. It's a big mystery. We're going to replay some of these, and you can rank them. And also, Game 7. We just talked about Bill Mazeroski. I think we start with that Game 7 in Pittsburgh history and work our way back from there. But let's talk about some of our great Game 7s and the fact that we have one in hockey tonight and who we think's going to win.